It's the weekend, and you have financial questions that need answering. That can only mean one thing. It's time for Jill on Money, the show that takes the mystery out of your finances. Here's your host, Jill Schlesinger.
Welcome to Jill on Money. Very glad you decided to join us. This is the program that takes the mystery out of your financial life. I am your hostess with the mostess, Jill Schlesinger. Mark's running the show. As usual, he's in a very bad mood today. Just don't get in his way. This time, he says, for good reason. We'll talk about it another time. But you know what you need to do? You got to take a deep breath, like that woman said, Rachel. You got to do the pause and breathe into your hand. I'm going to have a moment and pause. He gets uptight and then I get uptight. All right. It's sort of a mildly, it's nothing serious. No one has to worry. There's no health issue. It's all fine. So don't worry about that. But we have these annoyances in our lives, so we must get through it. And if you have an annoyance in your life, you may want to get through it with us. So just give us a holler, 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. Mark, look at the size of this coffee cup. It's pretty big, huh? Yeah, it's big time. It's like my fourth today. And we are delighted to talk to you. So let's start with a call. That's how we always begin the program. Roland is on the line. Hi, Roland. What's going on?
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's up?
Good. I have a purchased a annuity, a variable annuity in 2008, and it didn't do very well. Right now, the value is like 220.
Mm-hmm.
Original was 200.
Yeah.
And my financial advisor is now telling me rather than take the annuity, annuitize it, which is about $15,000 a year,
yeah,
that I should withdraw it.
Yeah.
And put it in a wrap account that he would manage.
Oh, yeah, because he hasn't made enough fees on this already.
Mm. Yeah, so I was thinking if I left it in, I would still be paying about 3% in fees.
It's the worst.
Year.
I know.
And they have a fixed investment of 3% where I pay no fees.
No. Oh,
so I was thinking of putting it in a 3% investment and collecting the annuity. Because nothing in my financial situation has changed since I opened the annuity.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand why it's not a good investment anymore.
Because there's a better, well, maybe it probably never was a good investment, but there's now a better investment for your broker, which is a way he can make more money. Let me ask you a question. The money in this annuity, how did you fund it? What was the source of the 200 grand that went in?
It was an IRA.
Okay.
I rolled it over.
So here's your good news. You want to know that there is excellent news for you. You can roll it over into just a plain old IRA rollover account, and you don't have to keep it with this broker, and you don't have to pay fees. You don't have to do anything. You can roll it over yourself. Tell me about what's going on in your life. Like, how old are you? What's this? When do you think you might need this money? Give me a little bit of a background.
Well, I'm 69 years old, and I have a number of IRAs that when I'm 70, I'm going to have to take distributions on.
Mm-hmm. Where are the other IRAs?
The other IRAs are in Vanguard Investment.
Okay, great.
Right.
Okay, and how much money is, if you totaled the other IRAs at Vanguard, how much is there?
Well, the total of all the IRAs is about $800,000.
You get a pension or not?
Yeah, I get a pension also.
Social Security or no?
Social Security. I get a pension. I have Social Security. And my wife's got Social Security.
I love you guys. Are you comfortable living on the Social Security checks and the pension? Is that enough for you?
Well, I just retired a couple of weeks ago. I stopped working completely. So this will be our test year to find out exactly what we're going to need. But I think Between the pension and the Social Security, we should be okay. And my other thought was, since I had to take distributions on the IRAs in about a year or so that taking the $15,000 a year from the annuity.
Yeah. Here's what you're going to do.
Part of my distribution.
I get out of this annuity. Here's what I would do. I would take the money that's in the annuity and move on from this broker, because this guy is clearly not a fiduciary. He doesn't have your best interest at heart. Take the money, roll it into your Vanguard IRA. Because the 200 and what did you said, 220 it's worth-ish?
220, right.
Yeah, so good. Roll it over into your IRA. Now, all your IRAs are going to be in one place. It's easier to manage. How are you investing the Vanguard money right now? You got some index funds, or what's in there?
It's all mutual funds, like the 500 fund,
yeah.
The Wellington fund. They're all doing pretty good.
Yeah,
It's a 401k that I have at work.
Yeah, I think the easiest thing for you to do is to add this money to that account and have one place where you have all your IRAs. And when you have to start taking distributions, it's all in one place, very easy, right? And that's it. And go to sleep at night. And instead of paying any fee on the money, and instead of having this money inside of an annuity and even having to annuitize it, don't you want to have access to the money? I think it's better to have the access. So move on. Take the money, roll it over, rolling over for Roland, and put it in with your Vanguard accounts. Make sure you've got some money, again, as you approach 70 and a half, right, as you approach to nearing that time where you're going to take your distributions, the required distribution, whatever the distribution is, make sure you've got that in cash, just so that so you don't have to sell something at the wrong time. And that's it. And go to sleep at night and be happy. And now you've got a way so that your broker is not going to make more money from you, that you're going to keep the money. And, you know, frankly, you have the correct way of interpreting this, which is, if that was a good investment then, why isn't it a good investment now? And I think the answer is because the guy's going to generate more money from you. And that, to me, is a telltale sign that we should get rid of him. That's my two cents.
Right.
All right.
Now, when you said I needed cash in my IRA, cash in my IRA for the distribution.
That's it. Just so you don't, like, again, it doesn't have to be a lot. It just means, like, you can do a little calculation of what you think your required minimum distribution is going to be. Just, you know, you can play with it. There's a zillion calculators online. Let's say that you had to take 10 grand out. I don't know. I'm making it up. So you just figure by the time, you know, as you're leading up to the time when you're going to take the distribution, free up the cash so the money can come out. That's all. Just simply, this is just a real, like, simple, you don't have money at risk that you know you're going to need within the next year. And that's it. And it's a beautiful thing. And then you're done with the annuity, which is, I think, really where you want to be. And for everyone listening, note the big differential here in terms of, I said, what was the source of the money for the annuity? Why did I ask that? I asked that because if the annuity was funded with an after-tax dollar, we'd be having a different conversation, right? Now we know it's an IRA. Okay, roll it into the other IRA. We're all good. Thanks for calling, Roland. Good question. All right, it's Jill on Money. If you've got a financial question, we want to hear from you. 855-411-JILL. Send us an email. AskJill@JillOnMoney.com. We'll be right back.
Back to Jill on Money with Jill Schlesinger. Have a question? Call anytime, day or night, 855-411-JILL.
You're back with Jill on Money, and if you've got a financial question, give us a holler, 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, AskJill@JillOnMoney.com. And check out our new podcast, Better Off. It's not even new anymore. I'm just going to say our podcast. I guess that within 6 months of airing, it's new. But anyway, check it out. Check it out. Better Off. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud, anywhere you find your favorite podcast. And if you haven't started discovering podcasts, Mark and I are kind of addicted. Are you getting less addicted to the podcast? Or are you you have to do it for work, but yeah. I've been getting into some of the great storytelling ones also. I love the Moth Radio one. That's such a good one. Just cool. Okay. If you need more podcast information, give us a shout. Okay, James in Atlanta is on the line. What can I do for you? Welcome to Jill on Money. How are you, James?
Hey, Jill, I'm well. How are you?
Great. What's up?
So I heard your radio show on, doing a little drive from North Carolina back to Georgia the other day. And I used to work for a company that was publicly traded. They had an employee stock option program, which I participated in. I've since changed companies, and they have, after a certain amount of period, or rather a certain period of time, they cash you out. So they're sending me a check, which I should be getting any day now. But my plan is to transfer that money into my self-directed brokerage account and invest it, but keep some of it in cash. So when I have to pay taxes on it next, I will have that cash in hand. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that being probably the safest bet?
Probably. Let me ask you something. How much money are you getting and what is the tax hit? Do you have an estimate yet?
So it'll be just around $5,000, and whatever, about 30% of that.
Okay.
Well, it'll be less because I don't know. I have to do some of the calculations because some of it is employer match, which will have, a larger, tax hit to it, but the rest should just be on, some of it will be on capital gains.
And otherwise. Some will be income.
Exactly.
I gotcha. Okay. Well, just be careful with it because it's, I know it's a pain in the neck. What about other stuff going on in your life, James? Any debt that's outstanding? Is there a need that we could use some of that money to pay down some debt?
Possibly some credit card debt, but I usually keep a pretty tight handle on that.
How much are you carrying a balance on your credit card?
Yes.
How much?
$2,000. But, okay. That fluctuates from zero to $2,000.
Okay, so if it's there when the check arrives, just pay off that debt and don't even put it in a brokerage account. Or in fact, if you've got a brokerage account already and it's strange. Why is there debt there? Are you under cash flow pressure? What's going on?
No, not really. Probably, maybe a poor job of budgeting, but, I make the larger, more than the minimum, much more than the minimum required payments every mm-hmm. month. There's just a lot of expenditures with travel and, probably poor budgeting, I would say.
Okay. And how much money's in the brokerage account right now?
A substantial amount, over $10,000.
Okay. Do you also consider?
Anyway.
I understand. Do you consider that your emergency reserve fund also? I mean, is that sort of like your slush fund in there?
Not necessarily. I don't touch it. I'm of the idea that when money is invested, it's, I really try not to touch it. I put more than 10% away to my 401k and I make contributions to that brokerage account, with every paycheck. So, I work in the retirement business. I sell 401k plans. So I'm very cognizant of the importance to save for retirement.
Mm-hmm.
I say that out of one mouth, and then I just told you I'm not necessarily the most skilled at balancing my credit cards.
Hey, it's okay. That's I've looked at other financial advisors' investment accounts sometimes and scratched my head. So don't worry, you're in good company. I think that first things first, you get this check. Before you get this check, do me a favor. Just go through some of your bills and see what's happening and try to get a little bit of a better handle. And if it's hard for you, maybe you can, you can use a tracker like Mint.com or Level Money, or you need a budget or something like that. Or you could literally just create a spreadsheet. Okay. I'd like to get a sense of what is going on with that cash flow and why. Why your debt is kind of popping up, and maybe it's unreimbursed business stuff or whatever. But, I think that before you invest the ESOP proceeds, you really need to clear up your debt, make sure that you have your emergency reserve fund established. And maybe part of the reason why you're running up that debt is that you have that view on the brokerage account of like, once it's invested, I don't want to touch it, which is all well and good, except that like, I just hate to think of you paying any money to a credit card company in terms of, you know, interest that you could be saving yourself. So I think it makes sense to me that when you have any kind of lump sum payment, it's a great time in your life to kind of reassess where you are. And this is a good nudge for you to say, hey, you know what? I got to get a better handle on my expenses and on my cash flow. And before you reallocate any money, I would really be careful to pay down debt. So again, debt pay down, emergency reserve fund, 6 to 12 months of your expenses. And then I would then really think about maxing out your 401k. I don't know if that 10% does it, before you put more money into the self-directed brokerage account. So my 2 cents. Thank you very much for calling, James. Very good. Good stuff. Here's a good email from someone here, Fred, who writes, I've listened to many talking heads. I've asked people what they think is an obvious question. I just don't get a good response. What will happen if the underfunded public employee pensions eventually run out of money? No one wants to compromise, and it seems even when a small deal is made, the Illinois courts overturn it. So this is Fred from Illinois. Would the Illinois courts make the state fund them? It depends. That's why you're getting a fudge answer there. You know, what happens is that the courts will weigh in only if a municipality goes broke, i.e. Detroit. And what happens in that case is that everyone's in line. So pensions are not sacrosanct. You know, people think, oh, I have a pension with the state of blank, and, you know, it could be Illinois, it could be Rhode Island. And it's not clear that the state would bail out a pension that goes under or a municipality that goes under. But what usually has happened is that there is some compromise in which the pensioners essentially say, we will accept less of our promise in exchange to get something. Because if you go to zero, that's really bad, right? So there's the court, a bankruptcy court would then intervene. But again, that would have to be, you know, a state pension going broke is not something we've seen. We've seen municipalities go broke. And the question really is that if a state were in that situation, would it just simply raise taxes? You know, they do have the power of the pen, if you will, in which case they can say, hey, everyone's going to pay more in taxes. We haven't seen that play out yet, but you're right. Unfunded pension liabilities, real problem. A little bit scary. It was something that we talked about a lot after the financial crisis. It's gotten somewhat better, but something to keep an eye on. And hopefully you see these states start to make better deals and both sides come together, because this current system is not sustainable. You're listening to Jill on Money. When we return, we'll answer more of your questions. 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back. They say the devil's water, it ain't so sweet. You don't have to drink right now, but you can dip your feet.
Annuities, IRAs, 401ks, she covers it all. Back to Jill on Money with Jill Schlesinger.
Let me out, don't tell me everything.
You're back with Jill on Money. If you've got a financial question, we'd love to hear from you. The phone number here is 855-411-JILL, and our email address is askjill@jillonmoney.com. Okay, few things. Check out our podcast. It's called Better Off. You can get it on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud, anywhere else you'll find your favorite podcasts. Hey, Mark, did you listen to S-Town or not? Not yet? That's the spinoff from Serial, for those of you who are interested. It was. I liked it, but I understand why people might not like it. How about that? It's not. I mean, cereal was just a phenomenon. Also, you know, there's a. Kind of part of me that makes believes that this is just one of those things where it's just hard to. Like compare it with this amazing first thing. It's like the first season of an amazing show that you, right? I mean, it's just so, sometimes it's really hard and you say, it's just never going to be quite as good as that. I don't know. I think it's tough. It really is. Anyway, let me do some more emails because we got a bunch here. Here's somebody who was listening to the show, and he said, I'm asking to write for clarification on a $3 million that you said that we should have saved by age 65. I'm almost 46 now. I've saved up about $200,000 in retirement and savings accounts. To get to $3 million in 20 years, I need to save $140,000 a year, even with compounding interest, blah, 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 and then I'll only have $1 million saved. What am I missing? Let me tell you what you're missing. You're missing is that I gave that advice to someone else about $3 million, or I might have just said it in passing. But the money that you need for your retirement is wholly dependent on what your needs are. Maybe you only need $1 million if you've got a pension and Social Security, and that all covers your needs. Maybe you don't need any more than that. But just to go back a second and remind everyone that the whole point of doing your own retirement planning, customized retirement planning, is about what's right for you. That may mean looking at how much money you spend now, how much money, projecting how much money you'll spend in the future. It means taking into account your streams of income. That can mean figuring out how your money's going to grow, all those things. But it's about you, nobody else. And that's what I want you to think about as you do your own retirement planning. All right? Okay. Hey, here's this dude, Travis, who heard about, remember we had way back Kelly Peeler. She was talking about financial aid and student loans. She's the one who has the great service. It's called, hold on, I'm losing my mind right now. NextGenVest.com, NextGenVest.com. Anyway, this guy says he's the founder of a flat fee student loan consulting startup, and it's called Student Loan Planner. And check this out, for those of you who are interested, he focuses on helping people who have $100,000 in debt once they've graduated, which is about triple the average. So, and what's kind of interesting is that he's worked with all these different professions. He says his average client, Mark, don't have a nervous breakdown, has $260,000 in student loans. But you know what he said that's kind of interesting? I think that he's helping these people. And I think what he's finding is that when they pay their loans down, he then is able to show those people that they can take the money they were using towards paying off their debt or servicing their debt and help them redirect that and become really good savers. And I've seen that over and over again. So I don't know. Maybe you want to check. This is not an endorsement of him. I have no idea who this dude is. But you can look at his website, studentloanplanner.com. Here, I'm going to go on it right now. Let's see what this looks like. So it caught individual borrowers, it cost $200. Maybe. That's not a bad price to pay if you're carrying hundreds of thousands of dollars. He's got a student loan calculator on here. Let's do this. This is, oh my God. It's like so intense. So he's got this crazy, this is amazing. He's got a student loan calculator. He's got all these different things. He says they want to go look at refinancing the SoFi Credible Common Bond. So he's looking at different ways to maybe refinance and repackage your debt. I don't know how you get $260,000 in debt. We've heard from some of you. I know. But that is a bitter pill to swallow. Very intense, actually. I can't even imagine what that feels like for people. I know. Mark says, what a way to start your life. And, you know, it really kind of robs you of the normal things that you would think about doing in your financial life. You know, no wonder, you know, home ownership rate is so low, right? I mean, that is just, it's very intense. Really is. And no wonder that, you know, people are living with their parents for so long. Oh, gosh. That is rough. That is for sure rough. Did I have loans? Of course not. I'm a privileged prima donna. No, I had no loans. I was so lucky. I was so lucky. And, you know, I think that most of us who were fortunate not to have loans, we only realized in retrospect just how lucky we were. Because in the moment, you're just a dumb kid. You know, you don't know just how awful it can be. But you are fortunate. People really, it's a lot to live under that burden. It really is. And I think that emotionally, it's really rough also. That's the other part of it, that I just think it's really hard on people. So, anyway, you're listening to Jill on Money, 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back.
Young, old, it doesn't matter. She's here to help you. Back to Jill on Money with Jill Schlesinger.
You're back with Jill on Money. If you've got a financial question, we'd love to hear from you. Our phone number is 855-411-JILL. Our email address is askjill@jillonmoney.com. If you're looking for a financial advisor, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget, we've got a nice link up on the website. JillOnMoney.com is our website. And there's a link right at the top of the page to the Certified Financial Planning Board of Standards, also known as the CFP board. And you click on the link. It's very easy. Again, JillOnMoney.com. And there's a far right rail, CFP board. You click on it. And where do you go? You go to letsmakeaplan.org. Isn't that great? All you have to do, it says, find a CFP professional today. Why would you do that? Because maybe you want someone who's really wants to think about your best interest, you know, the fiduciary standard. So if they're not a CFP, maybe you don't know that. Of course, yeah, you can always ask, but this is an easier way to do it. So JillOnMoney.com. And yeah, I shill for the Certified Financial Planning Board of Standards because I am the senior CFP board ambassador. So that's helpful, right? I'm an ambassador. Ambassador. All right. Someone wrote in here, Beverly, who says, I don't know where this came from, when Dana was on the show around the Final Four, that I guess we disrespected bowling. Anyway, Beverly says, if the image you have of bowling is social bowling with beer and pizza, I understand the idea it's not a sport. Athletes who throw 15 or 16-pound ball or 15 miles an hour for 8 games or more deserve a little more respect. Tournaments are a grind of multiple days to narrow the field down from over 100 to 5. Respect the game. Watch it on CBS or ESPN. Many colleges field male and female teams who go on to compete for Team USA and as professional bowlers. Thank you, Beverly. I apologize if I insulted any bowlers. I apologize for that. Bill from Babylon, New York wants to know when the Fed rate increases start to kick in with higher interest in his savings and money market accounts. That's a great question. I mean, what happens is that you get a rate increase, say, of 0.25%, but then you're thinking you're going to get that 0.25% that just comes right you know, kind of right down to your account. Well, doesn't work that way. What happens is you get some fraction of that, and then as rates start to rise, you get a little bit more and a little bit more. I would say that you'll start to see it more around, let's see, I'm thinking towards the, you know, one more rate hike, you'll start to see a little bit more in there. And then what happens is the banks are competitive. They want to get your money. And then they're really starting to raise rates accordingly so that they can essentially grab your money. Because most of us are not switching accounts to get, you know, a tenth of 1% more. But all of a sudden, if someone's actually says, hey, there's a quarter of a percent more than you are. And don't forget, you can go to depositaccounts.com and go check out where you could get potentially higher interest rates. Okay, so do check that out. Very worthwhile doing. Okay, here's a question. Oh, gosh. How much time, sir? Jay is 59. He's got an adjustable rate, 6 3/4 percent mortgage, 30 years, in its 11th year. It's in a trust. I'm the only trustee. I've tried to refinance 4 times, each time only to be denied because my personal income is too low. They said that I cannot include the income from the trust property to combine with mine to refinance. If I close the trust, I can refinance. He says, you know, I was talking about rising rates recently, and he said, my loan resets every 6 months. It can go as high as 12%. I recently learned my loan is tied to LIBOR, the London Interbank Offered Rate. London Interbank Offered Rate. It has not gone up with the recent Fed rate hike. And he says, I've been told not to worry, that I'm not in danger that my rate will go up anytime in the near future based on low LIBOR. Well, I mean, look, the answer to this is LIBOR rates. It's not exactly connected to the Fed, but LIBOR can move when interest rates are rising in general. So as the global economy improves, what happens is all of the interest rates that have been so low for so long, whether it's here in the U.S. or in Europe, all these things, everything's going to start to rise and you'll be in a rising interest rate environment. Do I think it's going to go up really fast? No. So that's where you have some protection. But if you have an adjustable rate and it is affordable right now and, you know, slowly but surely rates start creeping up, you might find that at some point it's not worth it to take the risk anymore. And so if for some reason you can figure out a way to do it, I would do it. But I agree. I don't think you're at risk that this is going to go from 6 3/4 to 12 anytime soon. But I do think that you have to be mindful that rates are rising. Okay? Rates are rising. It's not going to happen all at once. But it is happening. And that's perhaps the most important point to keep in mind for anyone who has an adjustable rate. Okay? So thank you for writing. And if you've got a financial question, we would like to hear from you. Our phone number is 855-411-JILL. Our email address is askjill@jillonmoney.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Jill on Money. What else am I trying to plug? And check out our podcast, Better Off. Anywhere you get your podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud, check it out. It's fun. All right. When we return, more of your questions. We'll be right back. You're back with Jill on Money. If you've got a financial question, we'd love to hear from you. 855-411-JILL. And the email address is askjill@jillonmoney.com. Totally easy. Okay. Let's go into this. Dan writes that I was lucky enough to get a tax refund. Now, what to do with it? I've been sitting on it. It's in my bank account. What's next? All right. I don't know why people love getting these tax refunds. I mean, you've just given Uncle Sam an interest-free loan for a year. But okay. The IRS says the average tax refund this year, about somewhere around $2,900, maybe closer to three. Anyway, so here's the first thing before we talk about spending this money. Maybe you should adjust your withholding. And the IRS has a great calculator, actually. You can just the withholding calculator there. Easy. So once you adjust, then you want to just make sure you're capturing and saving the extra money from every paycheck. Just boost your retirement contributions into your 401k or your 403b, or just to establish an automatic monthly draft into your IRA. One of those couple things, all right? Now, then we just go into what do you do with your money. Is that if you've got the refund, it's sitting around, it's been sitting in a bank account, you want to pay down your credit card debt or your auto loans. That's number one. We pay down consumer debt first. Next, we replenish your emergency reserve fund, 6 to 12 months of your living expenses, a little bit more if you're already retired. Maybe if you've done all that, maybe you just pre-fund next year's retirement account, your IRA or your Roth IRA. Saving for college? How about a 529 plan contribution? How about opening, you don't want to save for college, maybe just a non-retirement account with low-cost index funds, just a supplemental account. But something. And again, getting that refund, it feels good in the moment, but we really don't want to do that next year. If your refund was less than $1,000, you don't have to worry about it. But you know, if you got like $4,000, $5,000, $8,000 back, that's when you should do something. All right, it's Jill on Money, 855-411-JILL. Or send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back.